All right. There's something that I want to talk about, and I guess I want to put it out there for you guys to deal with, because to think about and to give feedback on. I was blessed and privileged to have to go up and be a responsible dad and keep an eye on my daughter yesterday in Stanley Basin. So I checked on her Friday night, went up Friday night, and then I made sure that it looked like it was pretty safe around the campsite and a bunch of old people and motorhomes and stuff. So it looked pretty doable. So told her when nightfall she needed to just keep her pistol nearby, and she was fine, so she was good with that. So she had a bunch of high school girls up in Stanley Basin. She took some girls up for a trip, kind of end of school thing. So that was a sweet thing. That was pretty big of her to, the verse, some people she nannies for let her borrow their Suburban and trailer and all their camp stuff and kayaks and camping gear, so tents and bicycles and everything. So they were up there having a girls' weekend, not because I wanted to, but the responsible thing was to go up there and check on her. So I personally, there's some exquisite places in the Stanley Basin, so it was pretty nice. So I thought it would just be most efficient to ride around on my daughter's motorcycle. That's the only reason I took it. So I took it on the back of the truck, put 100 miles a single track. Because it was a responsible thing to do. So. In two track, making sure there was no bad guys around, doing it. So. But it was, I was blessed. It was sweet to spend some time alone yesterday. And in the process, I started thinking about, because I would have to say that, I don't know if I'm the only one, but I kind of doubt it, that struggles with the whole, purposeful doing what we do. Do we do what we do because God is God, or do we do what we do because of reward? And I guess that's kind of where I'd like to leave that question and leave that thought, because at 2 o'clock, like I said, I woke up and actually I was really happy. Sometimes I'm struggling with going back to sleep, and doing it, but couldn't go back to sleep. I laid they're awake all night thinking about that it's a pretty profound concept. But we're in Matthew 5, verse 10. Let me read it a minute, because I think that it's really important, 6 verses. And we'll talk about the salt and light next week. But the principle of being persecuted for righteousness. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out, trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a peck measure, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. There's a lot of really profound things in here. But the thing that I would like to touch on, or twofold. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So we just say, blessed are you when you suffer for righteousness' sake, and you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. Which one will be? And then also, we have to compare that with chapter 6, verse 1. It says, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. There's a lot here, but the one thing that I want to hit on and cause you guys to think about, ask you guys to think about, please, is we're talking about persecution. And we talked about that last week. We read a bunch of Bible verses, a bunch of places in Scripture where we're guaranteed if we live righteously, if we live like Jesus, not try to imitate Him, but truly act in the likeness of Him, be in the likeness of Him. That's called being born again. This isn't about a non-born again person acting like a Christian, because they will probably, well, by the religious people, they will be adored because they will act nobly. They will act good. They will act as good citizens. They will act, do the right thing. And those things are esteemed by the world. This is guaranteeing that you will not only not be esteemed by the world, but you will be come against personally. This isn't talking about circumstances in the world. This is talking about people acting on people. All the words that are used, reviling, persecuting, saying all kinds of evil against you on account. Those are things done by people towards people. This isn't circumstances. Does God use circumstances? Yeah. Does Satan use circumstances to beat us up? Absolutely. Does He use circumstances to discourage us and to pound us? Or even put it the other way, to encourage us. Again, remember, one of the greatest temptations of Satan is the wealth of this world. That's what he used against Jesus himself, was the wealth of this world. But this is talking about people towards people. And one thing that we need to remain clear on is if we're good and noble people, we will be esteemed by the world. But if we are Christ, truly Christ-like, we will be reviled. Jesus was. We certainly will be. He promised it. So, does that mean universally? No. Does that mean among... Should that happen in this body of believers? Absolutely, it should not. Okay? Will it happen in this world? Absolutely. Will it happen from other churches? From other religious people? Well, that's where Jesus mainly was persecuted from, right? Jesus wasn't persecuted by the world. He was persecuted and reviled and come against by the churches. But there's a very important principle, I guess, that I want to look at. And it has to do with parenting and has to do with rewards. So are we to rejoice and be glad because people persecuted us for righteousness? It says to rejoice and be glad, right? That would be a misreading of what it says. Okay? It does not say to rejoice and be glad because people are persecuting you for righteousness. Alright? We need to be very careful about that. We should mourn and be tragically sad that people are so oppressed and deceived and led by sin and controlled by Satan that they would persecute righteousness. Again, we're not talking about false righteousness here. We're not talking about the pretense of righteousness. We're not talking about us trying to be good and pretending to be good or acting nicely. We're talking about truly living as Jesus Christ lived, okay? If people are persecuting us for living like Jesus Christ lived, for acting as Jesus Christ acted, that should make us very sad. That shouldn't make us happy, okay? That is not a contradiction to what it's saying. It doesn't say to be happy for being persecuted. It doesn't say to rejoice and be glad for being persecuted. It says to rejoice and be glad for a couple of reasons. One is for our reward in heaven is great. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And I guess the thing that I really want to talk to you about, and you know, I guess I would say more than anything, particularly to your parents, because it really struck me and that's what woke me up at 2 a.m. It's a very difficult syndrome that we get in and we act out in our view of God and also in our parenting skills. And that's that do we tell our kids that if you do this, then I will do something for you. Okay? We're talking about reward. We're talking about wages. We're talking about, and we need to understand this. And the thing that I would challenge you on is this. As a parent, are children to be obedient to their parents because they're supposed to be obedient to their parents? Are they supposed to be obedient to parents because they'll get some candy? Are they supposed to be obedient to their parents because they will get something as a result of that? I want you to consider something, all of us to consider something, because it's very, very important in our relationship with God and our relationship as parents. Because are we supposed to act towards our children the way that God acts towards us? Are we supposed to emulate the character and nature of God towards our children? As fathers, as parents. Absolutely. That is the guideline. That is the precedent. Okay? That is what we are teaching them. That is what we are to be governed by. This is a very important thing. Are we obedient to God because of the rewards we'll get? This is a very, very important principle. Okay? So, when a father says, tells a child to go, that they need to do something, they need to accomplish a task, they need to do something. What is supposed to be the motivation for doing that? Our culture says that we bribe them, basically. We don't like that word because bribe is always a bad word. Okay? Bribe is a word we never use. So, we don't ever call our parenting bribing because that would look pathetic. So we don't say that. But we say, if you do this, then you can have this. What you need to understand is a very important, because this is, there's a whole bunch of scripture that says, by grace we are saved through faith. Not of ourselves, not by works, lest any man should boast. Right? The Bible is full of the fact that, and this is a very important concept, again, for us to understand, because all of us struggle, I assume, on some level, with my righteousness, with my works gaining me merit with God. Okay? And that truly should never be the case. As a child should be obedient to their parents because they are told, because they respect the authority, because they are submissive to authority, and that is the reason, right? Now, a father or a mother rewarding their child for good behavior is grace. You need to what is very critical in us in our relationship with God, and a child. And a parent, a child cannot outgive their parent, right? That should be the case. The parent doesn't bribe their child to be obedient. The parent rewards their child with grace. God does the same thing to us. It's a very, very important principle. We are worthy of death. Our good works does not make up for that. Our good works does not make us deserving. Our actions and obedience to God are because God is God. God is worthy to be served. God is the supreme creator, power, authority in this world. To not be obedient to Him is to not acknowledge Him for who He is. Period. We obey God because God is God. A child is to obey their parent because their parents are the authority in their lives. Not because they get something for it. Now, David made a comment. Do you have New International? Is that what you have, Billy? In Psalm 27, and I grew up my whole life with thinking, I was looking at it and studying it. It says, in most Bibles, and in my Bible, it says, David says this. He says, "For I would have despaired if I couldn't have believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Okay? I think that's probably correct in what it means, but that's not what it says. Okay? Because I think this is a very, very... this is a very critical... critical thing for us to understand in our relationship with God. I worship God. I serve God. I'm obedient to God. I act in righteousness because God is God. But I also know that God, What is me doing that? That is me being an outpourer, right? That is me pouring out to God in acknowledgement of who He is, okay? What is God? God is an outpourer. Can I trust God and know that God will outpour back to me with grace and mercy and kindness? Absolutely. I should be able to trust that. He is the rewarder, it says, right? He is the rewarder. It's not bribery. It's not because I deserve it. I don't deserve anything for acknowledging God for God. I deserve nothing for being obedient to God. I do not do it because, if I do it because I want something, is that doing it because of God is God? Or is that doing it for selfish reasons? Okay? In a true right relationship with God, a true right relationship response to God is that I outpour everything in my being towards Him. In obedience, in submission, in surrender. Because that's who He is. That's what He's worthy of. Not for what I get back. Not for what I get back. What does God do back towards me? Because God is who He is. He pours out His grace. He pours out His mercy. He pours out His kindness. He pours out His favor towards me. Do I earn His favor by my good behavior? No. No. I do not earn His favor by my good behavior. It is not by works. Okay? This is a very important principle. Is this making any sense? I mean, do you understand what I'm talking about when it talks about parenting? Because it's very easy to get into parenting to try to bribe our children into good behavior. Okay? The children should be obedient to your parents because your parents are the authority that God has put in your life. Part of the big problem that we have here in our culture is that we don't understand authority again. And that we are all under authority. And God's order of authority is very, 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 very critical and important. And us moving outside of that will only lead to disaster. Okay? It's the way it is. It's the way God set it up. All right? Children are to be submissive to their parents. That's pleasing to God. Okay? And God in His mercy and His grace pours out towards their children, just like parents pour out towards their children in mercy and grace. Okay? In compassion. A parent should always outgive their children. When they're little, it's easy to do that. Okay? It seems more easy when they're little. It seems like what do they do? Oh, you know, they get up and pull themselves up on the chair and you clap and say, oh good, that's so good, you did such a good thing. And parents are kind of pretty nearly obnoxious, you know, about their little children's behavior at times and trying to reward them for good behavior, you know. They say please and mom and dad start jumping up and down, you know, and doing it. This is a good thing. I'm not saying that's wrong necessarily, okay? Because the truth is that we should always outpour grace and mercy, compassion towards our children beyond what they deserve. This is not because they deserve it. It's because I am to be an outpour of grace and compassion and mercy and love towards my children. Just like God is towards us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay? Not because my kid was a good kid, okay, I'll give him something. Alright? But because I am an outpour of goodness and grace and mercy and love towards my child. It's a very important thing for us to understand in concept of God. Am I motivated? Do I serve God because God is God? And do I understand that God is the rewarder? Do I understand that God is more compassionate than me? Is more loving? Is more gracious? Is more merciful? Is more kind? Is more giving than I could ever be? Because if I don't understand that, I don't understand God. Okay? If I don't believe that, if I don't believe that with all my soul, that I cannot outgive God. Okay? And if I just give to God because of I want back, because I want from God, you know what God says about that? All your works, all your goodness, is it filthy rags? It has no value. This is not produced. If I give to God in order to get, okay? But it's just like if your children. If your children feigns compliance in order to get what they want, or not get in trouble, or produce in their parents the character that they want to manipulate and control, you failed as a parent if you allow that to happen. Will that be tried by every child on the face of the earth? Absolutely. We have to realize children are selfish inherently. They're self-consumed, selfish children. That's the way kids are. There isn't this good little kid in him that I have to just produce an environment they'll grow and blossom like a little flower. I don't know why we relentlessly think we need to continue to try to produce that in our culture. We do, though. I guess it's part of ultimate humanism and our belief in ultimate humanism. Okay? God says very clearly, hearts are desperately wicked. Okay? Our hearts are in rebellion, are selfish, are egocentric when it comes to understanding the world, and do not acknowledge and submit to authority by nature, but are rebellious. Okay? The issue is, how do you be sure it's a loving kindness of God that draws men to repentance. Okay? And it should be the same with us as parents. Okay? We should pour out mercy and kindness and compassion and grace towards our children because that should be our nature towards our children. Okay? Their obedience should be stand alone as their obedience and submission to the authority over them. Again, bribery is not the way. Let me read something from David, because I think Psalm 27, again, it speaks of life, and they had to fight in real wars. And okay, I think that this is very relative to Psalm 5. He says, "Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of things falsely, evilly against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad." Rejoice and be glad. Again, do we rejoice and be glad that people are acting wickedly? 1 Corinthians 13 is very clear. Do not rejoice in unrighteousness. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. Am I supposed to love my enemies? Yes. Am I supposed to respond in love? Yes. That means I'm supposed to not rejoice in their unrighteousness. I'm not to take that as, oh, what a martyr I am. Okay? Okay? Oh, look. Sucks for you that you have to be like that and feel like that and act like that, but too bad you're not like me. No, that's not to be our response. Our hearts are to be broken that people are in bondage to sin and in bondage to the master of sin. Okay? That should be our thought. But what do we rejoice and be glad in? And there's a couple of things. One is that our identity is of that of the prophets. Okay? We can identify with the true men of God that were prophets. That should be what motivates us. That's a very important thing. I should have affirmation and confirmation. They persecuted Jesus. If I am persecuted for the same reason, not because of my ignorance, not because of my obstinance, not because of my objectionable behavior, not because I'm obnoxious, okay, but because I'm Christ-like. If it is truly because I am Christ-like, I can revel in that. I can rejoice and be glad. I can be affirmed. Okay? I can also be affirmed that God is the rewarder. Okay? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? David was in a fight a lot of his life. The Lord is the defense of my life. The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers come upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumble and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. One thing, this is what we rejoice and be glad about, one thing I have asked from the Lord. Okay? This should be the singleness and singleness of purpose of all of us. This is what we can rejoice and be glad about. One thing I have asked of the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit now, right? This is a right, this talks about us individually having a right relationship with God. For in the day of trouble, He will conceal me in His tabernacle, in the secret place of His tent, He will hide me. This is when people are reviling you and persecuting you and saying all kinds of evil against you because of me. He will lift me up on a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me, and I will offer in His tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. This is in the midst of His enemies coming against Him, His adversaries coming against Him and camping against Him. Verse 11, teach me Thy ways, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. Do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries. This is people against David. For false witnesses have risen up against me, and such as breathe out violence. Okay? Get violence, false witnesses coming against him. Mine says, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I think yours says, New American Standard is probably, or New International Version is probably a more correct even translation here, because I would have despaired. In the New American Standard, it's italicized. Okay? Italicized means that that's an interpretation of what's being said, but that's not the actual words. I'm glad they do that, because it alerts me to what the actual words are, okay? What they mean. What the actual translation is. What version do you have, Richard? What? English Center. What does it say? Psalm 27:13. It says, I am confident, because that's actually the word. What does yours say? I believe. Read the verse 13.
I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think New International Version says, I am confident, right? I am confident that I will see the goodness of the Lord, right? And that is that thing that should be the motivator in our life? Absolutely. Can I be dependent on the goodness of God? Absolutely. I relished in the goodness of God yesterday. I mean, I was that the goodness of God? Yeah, I had enough money to have enough gas to get there. And to put 2 gallons of gas in a motorcycle and run 100 miles of God's majestic country. I was a happy boy. Was that the goodness of God? Absolutely. The goodness of God in the midst of some pretty ugly times right now. Is God? Can we depend on God's goodness? Yes. We should have tremendous confidence that we cannot outgive God. That God is a good God. God is a loving Father. Okay? I don't obey God. I don't obey my dad because of what I get out of it. Because I have to somehow produce good behavior in my father. Okay? So if I act really good and do these things, then that will mean my dad has to reward me and give me something. No. I obey my father because my father is my father and I honor my father. Okay? I'm obedient to my father because without that, I'm in rebellion. Right? I'm in direct rebellion if I'm not obedient to my father. Can I be assured? Can I be confident? That God is a reward. That God's grace and God's mercy, God's compassion, God's abundant love far outnumbers, far outweighs my obedience. It is not because of my obedience, it's because that is His nature. It's because that is His character that He pours out. It's a very important thing for us all individually in our relationship with God to consider. You know, I had a good friend of mine, one of my long-standing friends from 30-some years, say to me one time, Phil, say to me one time, you know, David, do you believe that in heaven you will get rewards? You believe in heaven that is heaven the best place to be and is hell a terrible place to be? Yes. Well, then, couldn't you call Christianity ultimate selfishness? Because you're really doing what you're doing for the purpose of staying out of hell and going to heaven. I honestly think that most people who call themselves Christians live on that level. I honestly believe that most people call themselves a Christian, refrain from doing all the really bad things, go to church, try to show devoutness towards God for selfish reasons. Okay? For God's blessing. For God's eternal security. Some of them aren't so sure about. They believe we're more capable of blessing ourselves in this earth. We know more what we want. We're more and more in tune with what we want. So we'll go about doing what we have in this life and we'll just trust God for the end result. Okay? That's selfishness. Is that a right relationship with God? That is not a right relationship with God. That is not acknowledging God for who He is. That is not falling on your face before God Almighty and going, "You are worthy to be worshipped. You are worthy to be praised. If nothing ever good for me comes out of it, it doesn't change the fact of who you are and acknowledging who you are." That should be our motivation, not for what I get out of it, not for what comes from me. But I can be confident of God's goodness. I can be confident that I have a loving Father. Just like a child should be confident that they have a loving father and a loving mother. That act in merciful, kind, loving ways towards them. And that they can't be outgiven. That a father is giving of many gifts. Not spoiling with things, not taking him to Disneyland and not being a Disneyland dad. But a father's outpouring, what does a child need more than anything? Attention, affection, security, intimacy. Okay? A father outpouring himself to that child. That's what a child needs. Doesn't need things. Doesn't need material blessings. Doesn't need material provision. Enough food to get by and enough clothes to keep him warm. In spite of what we think. And a child's okay. With a father's love, with a mother's love, that's what they need. They need a father that pours out and says, "I love you." Because that is to be my nature, is to be an outpourer towards you. Just like God's nature is to be an outpourer towards us. Okay? Was God's love towards us? Was God's grace towards us? Was God's grace means unmerited favor? Did that come? Is that based on what we've done? It is not. It is not based on what we've done. It's based on His character and His nature. And that is what our giving and our outpouring are supposed to be towards our children. And does that make any sense? Because I think that it's, and I agree with David, I would have despaired, or I am very confident that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Be strong in the midst of enemies coming against you, reviling you, saying a false evil against you falsely. And let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. And it should be the same thing with a child. I think that it's a wrong thing to always, you know, we do it with dogs, you know. Well, how do you get a dog to be obedient? Well, you give him a treat. You know, we tend to do the same thing with our kids. You know, how do we do it? Well, if you do this, I'll give you candy. If you do this, I'll give you candy doing it. There's a side of that that teaches selfishness. It teaches a child to do things for their purpose and their gain. Not because of obedience to the authority over them. Okay? I would say that's a very dangerous thing. Is it wrong to reward a child? Is it wrong to outgive a child? Absolutely not. It's imperative that we do. Okay? How many stinking dads are there that people talk about and say, well, my dad never told me he loved me. My dad never showed me affection. My dad really never gave back. My dad really never acknowledged me. Is there anybody here that thinks that's a good thing? Or sounds like a right thing? That sounds like a pathetic, selfish man. Okay? There should be no doubt, no matter what the actions, even if the child's behavior is bad, he should have no doubt about the father's love, about his mercy, about his grace, about his compassion towards him. Okay? That is not what his behavior does not determine that character and nature in his father. Okay? It's a pathetic, selfish, humanistic thing that for a father to say, well, I don't want them to think bad behavior is so good, so I'm going to push them away. I'm going to be harsh towards them. I'm going to be cold towards them. Because if I'm nice towards them when they're being bad, then that's going to reward them for bad behavior. That's sick and pathetic. Okay? The father's love, a father's compassion, a father's grace, a father's mercy, a father's outpouring towards his child should have nothing to do with a child's behavior. Just like God's isn't. Do we think that we depend, and we do, and this is a terrible, selfish, egocentric arrogance, that we believe somehow God's favor towards me is based on my worth, on my goodness, on my merit. It is not. It is not. God is God. The kindness of God, the love of God, the mercy of God are because that is who He is. I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it. I think myself pretty good, pretty self. That's where self-righteousness comes from. Right? That is not what it's talking about, acting righteously and being persecuted for. The acting righteously is a dead man walking. Acting righteously is a man truly acting like Jesus. Okay? And Jesus didn't consider himself. What did he say? I only consider worthy to follow Jesus and be obedient to my Father. To death. To the point of death. Jesus, if there were any human ever on the face of the earth that was deserving of mercy and kindness, compassion and grace and love, deliverance, protection, it was Jesus. He was perfect. He was perfect in what he did. He never did anything wrong. And yet he was... Is that why he did it? Because God... Did he say, God, you have abandoned me in the midst of this? Actually, when God turned his back on him, he did. When he took on our sin. Okay? But he did it because his Father was worthy to be obeyed. Because God was worthy to be obeyed. And it's a very important... All of us in our stance before God, I spent from 2 to 7 this morning thinking about this, so I don't ask you to expect a response. I would just challenge you to think about it. Where do we think we stand with God? Where do we think we stand with our, why we're right with God, why God's okay with us? Do we think it's because we're pretty good? We're not really bad? Or does it have nothing to do with my goodness? I'm deserving of death. That's what the Bible says. I'm deserving of God's wrath. That's what the Bible says. Oh, but not at the moment. No, not at the moment. But, in and of ourselves, it's much like a person who just came and stole everything from you and beat your children up and set your house on fire and then goes, well, I'm not doing anything bad right now. Can we be friends? Probably not. Because you just acted in this way. That is us towards God. We've all spit in His face. We have all lived our lives in a way that completely disacknowledges who He is and what He is. We have all turned our back on His mercy and His grace and His kindness. We have all acted arrogantly and egocentrically. We have all willfully acted. We don't see sin for what it is, but we have all willfully acted in rebellion and sin towards Him. We have all failed to acknowledge Him. We've all spit in the face of the King. Okay? We've all spit in the face of the King. Willingly. We're deserving of death. Our goodness does not change or make up for that. God is a just God. God will judge all sin. Okay? The only hope that we have of a right relationship with God is the forgiveness and mercy and compassion that came through Jesus Christ. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. By grace, we're saved through faith, and not of ourselves. Not by works, lest any man should boast. Not of our own. Our children we shouldn't teach our children to manipulate our behavior by, if you do this, then this will happen. Okay? Should we teach what you reap you sow? Absolutely. Should we teach consequences for your actions? Absolutely. But there shouldn't, if we teach them that there's a direct correlation between my attention and my love and my mercy and my compassion and your behavior, that would be a wrong thing to teach. Because those attributes should, in and of ourselves, as dead, as people who are children of the Most High God, should be the natural, our character no matter what. Even towards our enemies, right? We're supposed to love our enemies. Much less our disobedient children. Or much more our disobedient children. I just challenge you guys to look at that. Do we rejoice and be glad? Do we act like we do towards God? Are we obedient towards God because of what we get out of it? Obviously, a wrong response. I would challenge you to think about salt and light. The Bible says, because we'll talk about it next week, God willing, the darkness hates the light. Okay? The Bible says that. Something else that I considered is salt really doesn't stand of any merit in and of itself. What value is salt in and of itself? Does it taste good? Do we eat salt? No, it doesn't. It does not taste good. It tastes good on things. It tastes good as it flavors the world. Okay? You and Natalie might just eat salt for a second. Salt is something that brings flavor to this world. But as a standalone, I mean, it doesn't have much value. And if it loses its saltiness, what good is it? Because it doesn't flavor this world. The point being that God says we don't avoid being reviled, being spoken against. Those things are going to happen. We don't do it. The whole monastic culture of the Catholic Church goes completely contrary to the Bible. Do I think that for a short period of time that we could isolate on some level ourselves in pursuit of God? Potentially. But God's very, very clear. We're to live our lives in this world. In the midst of this world. Right in the middle of this world. And to be salt and light in this world. Let's pray. God, I thank You that we do not have to depend on our goodness for Your character to be shown. I thank You that Your character is what it is, regardless. We are to fear You because Your character is always wrath, is also wrath, is also judgment. It isn't just this pathetic Disneyland dad mentality. You're righteous. You're perfect. You're holy. You do not tolerate sin and rebellion. You've never tolerated sin and rebellion. You're a just God. You judge all in righteousness. But I thank You that we can be confident that You desire to show us mercy and kindness and grace, unmerited favor. That's your longing, to have that relationship with us. You've done everything necessary, and I thank you for that. I ask that you would be with Ray and Lisa today and Sagey as they go down to this celebration of 50 years of marriage. I don't know the people, what their relationship, but I ask that as they go down, they could know your system that you've set up. Know the goodness of being faithful and obedient to marriage. In spite of ugliness, in spite of toughness, I ask that you would give them perception of truth, the ability to love and care on people. Give Seiji the sense of permanence and long-term and durability in spite of a pretty crumbling world we live in. Give Lisa a little reprieve in the heat of Jerome. Pregnant mama. So, God, I thank you again for your goodness, for the ability to have a relationship with you because you're an outpour, because you love us. Amen.